Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We are after the All-Star break. We are after the trade deadline. It's down to the home stretch for the Atlanta Braves, who have been watchable again lately.
Yeah, better.
Definitely better. Just took a series from the Brewers, took the first game of a four-game, a much-needed four-game set against the Miami Marlins last night. Things might be looking a little up. Only six games back of the sliding fraud Phillies. Total fakes, total frauds. Never believed in them. Pathetic, really. But we'll get more into that when we play the Phillies later this month.
Twice this month, actually.
Yeah, seven games against the Phillies this month. That maybe for the division, who knows. But before we get into anything else, the trade deadline did pass. Overall, in terms of the league in total, in general, busy trade deadline, but not necessarily like a high powered one.
There were a couple of moves. I don't know that they'll be big for this year. Maybe Jazz to New York, because their offense was kind of puttering along.
Yeah,
but I also kind of feel like their offense was going to come back anyways, because there's a lot of bats in that lineup. So I'm not sure. If that's a massive needle mover, I think one of the bigger trades that was made that the Braves should have made, and AA fucked this up, in my opinion. I think he fucked it up horribly, was not getting a starting pitcher. Now you can make the case that should everything go right and everybody's healthy, we're going to have Fried, Sale, Morton, Lopez, Schwellenbach, that's five, right? And Morton probably at the back end of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Schwellenbach's been pitching very well lately. I think he's got like a 1.06 whip this year. He's had a couple of bad games with walks where he gave up home runs after that inflated his ERA, but he's been extremely good. And then Ian Anderson and Anoa are
right there,
maybe weeks away at this point from coming back to the Major League squad, so there's a lot of starting pitching. But there was a known entity out there, Jack Flaherty, that somebody like the Braves' AAA catcher, who there's no room for on the Major League roster for the next several years, for 5 or 6 years. Plus, any one of those dudes I mentioned, or Hurston Waldrop, that they could have traded for Jack. Jack Flaherty.
Yeah. Who
signed him to an immediate 5-year extension, but now he's a member of the fucking Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah,
that was a huge mistake on his part.
That was a brutal loss to have him
to even let him go to the Dodgers. Yep. It would have been worth even getting him as a rental for one of those guys to keep him off the Dodgers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's brutal for the National League field to have the Dodgers stock up like they have. Though I still think the Dodgers lineup is pretty
their rotation is trash, to be honest. We'll see if Kershaw comes around. He looked like dog shit. the other day. Glasnow's good, but Yamamoto's out. Walker Buehler's not been good. Bobby Miller, eh. James Paxton, eh. So, I mean, still, you could have, the Braves could have made that move, had four, like, elite starters, mm-hmm. and then figure out five and six even, right?
Yeah.
And then also block the Dodgers from ever assembling a full rotation.
Yeah.
And they chose not to do it for whatever fucking reason.
And it's interesting, too, because even if you don't sign Flaherty, the fact that his contract's up at the end of the year means he's not, like, terribly expensive.
Right.
As far as prospect capital and stuff goes.
I mean, you probably could have traded, and I would have done this, I would have traded Enoa and Anderson, or Enoa and maybe not Waldrop, but Enoa and another guy.
Yeah.
For him, 100%. Because AA knows he can re-sign him. Yeah. That's my opinion. So
it was a weird deadline for the Braves. I don't think anyone, although now looking kind of up and down things, part of me is just like, we overthinking it? Is this just are the Yankees just going to get number 28 this year and call it a day? Like,
they're pretty good, yeah.
They're pretty goddamn good, but they can't even win their division potentially, which is wild to me. But the Orioles are also excellent. The Orioles added a little bit as well, like we said, with pitching. They didn't go for the big top end guy, but they went with depth. Eflin, I believe.
Zach Eflin, yeah. I think that's a smart move.
Yeah,
by then.
I agree.
It also, Jackson Holliday's back on the big league roster. He hit a grand slam the other day.
Absolute fucking tater. But the Braves did do something at the deadline, which I guess is better than nothing because they needed to do something. Mm-hmm. They added Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson. Then a couple weeks before that, they signed Eddie Rosario, kind of getting the 2021 squad back together, although they did send Matzik to the Giants. So RIP Tyler Matzik, who I will forever. I mean,
nutsack.
One of the biggest moments in my Braves fandom, my entire life of being a Braves fan. I mean, that's like a top three. They don't win the championship, I think, without that inning from Matzik in Game 6 of the LCS.
Definitely not. By the way, saving Luke Jackson.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, little banged up still. I know it was about. They think like 2-3 weeks away. Lopez will probably skip another start and then come back. Freed is
his outlook was great. He just his MRI didn't show.
There was no there wasn't even inflammation. It was just like he was sore that day. He just wanted to be careful, I guess. So that's good. Freed will be back. I think Sunday. Either Sunday or Monday, he's going to pitch against the either the Marlins or whatever that Monday game is.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Tuesday. Maybe they're off Monday. But he'll be back within the next couple of days. Lopez will be back in the rotation by the end of next week.
And Harris is going to be out a little longer, it seems.
Harris is scheduled to come back on August 14th right now.
Yeah, mid-August is the...
Yeah.
He can't return until mid-August, in fact, because he's
I'm sure they did on purpose, but he said the other day that he's going to be back by then. He's good now, sprinting and shit like that. So Ozzy, not until fucking mid-September probably.
Yep.
So that is what it is. But we have Whit Merrifield will be fine over there. As long as he plays good defense, that's all that really matters there. And then we'll see how Anderson and Hurston Waldrop's throwing games now too down in minor league. So we'll see how that all plays out. I just like, it isn't just about capitalizing on ceiling potential for guys. It's also about getting the right squad on the field right now. So trade, like, yeah, it sucks sometimes to trade away prospects and shit. I get it. But trading away a guy that's blocked at the major league level by a guy who's signed to a long-term deal for somebody that's an elite established entity in Major League Baseball that then you can sign to an extension.
Yeah.
That seems like a fucking no-brainer to me. I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
You know, I wonder, I don't know this for sure or anything behind the scenes, but it's interesting to me, too. There's an added wrinkle to that, two added wrinkles that I'll say with the Jack Flaherty thing. Maybe Flaherty had a preference to go to Los Angeles.
Possible, yeah.
Because he's from there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Southern California kid.
I maybe, but man... Nobody wants to go pay those taxes. I don't believe that. Like, that's crazy. And the Dodgers aren't that good. Like, up and down their lineup, the first four, they're fucking elite. The rest is garbage, and the rotation sucks.
Yeah.
Like, baseball players know this better. You know what I mean? Yeah. They know it better than we do, like who to go to, who's got the good organizations and stuff. I don't know. I just think the Braves got outplayed there.
They're a bit of a shell. So one of my thoughts was is that maybe he was like, I just don't want to play in Atlanta. I'd rather go home. But the other interesting thing that people forget is that his high school teammate plays for the Braves.
Mm.
Him and Max Fried were in the same rotation in high school, I think along with Carlos Rodon.
Was it Rodon? Somebody. There was somebody else on that team.
It was the third very good major leaguer.
Who I can't remember if it was a pitcher or a position player.
It was a pitcher because they were talking about how insane the fucking rotation was. But I wonder if, you would hope that you would have Max maybe trying to pitch that. But maybe AA wasn't even interested at all, which would be, like you said, pretty fucking crazy. But who knows? I will say with the additions we did make, Rosario's just kind of there. Whatever. He's filling, we need bodies. Because of all the injuries.
Mm.
Luke Jackson, from what I can tell, our bullpen is so good that he will not be seeing any serious leverage situations unless Brian Snicker is worse than you think he is.
I don't know how he can be worse than I think. I he is the worst manager in baseball.
I mean, if he starts putting Luke Jackson in high leverage situations, I will have no choice but to fully step onto your boat.
Luke Jackson, who has a 5.35 ERA and a 1.5 WHIP this year. It's not like he was like, oh, he went somewhere else and he got good again. Now let's bring him back. Fucking, no, he fucking sucks.
He's always sucked. I thought we were done. I was like, oh, good. We're done. We're done with him.
Mm.
And now he's fucking back. But I do genuinely fucking love the addition of Jorge Soler.
Oh, yeah.
We said for years, the last 2 years, we should have never let him go.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great player. And specifically, I did not know this number until today. He's been kind of middling this season overall. But when he hits in the leadoff spot, which he hasn't done, I think, a ton with the Giants. He's done a fair amount, but not probably as much as he would like. He's hitting .279. 866 OPS, 135 OPS plus. The power is still absolutely there. His on-base skills seem to be better in the leadoff spot.
Everything he does is better in the leadoff spot. I think his on-base percentage over the last... I looked it up the other day. I think over the last like 3 or 4 years when he's in the leadoff spot, his OBP is like 380.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty legit. 380.
It's very good.
That'll get it done.
Yeah.
For a guy who's also going to pop you fucking 35 to 40 home runs a year.
And the power's still there. I think he's got 17, 18 home runs this year, and he's been on the IL. So in terms of the frequency of hitting the home runs, it's, the power's completely still there. Let me see where I can see his split. Batting first in 2024, he has a WRC plus of 140.
It's just shy of what the Hall of Fame level is, 150, right?
Oh no, you can get the Hall of Fame 120, 130, okay, depending on your defense. On base percentage, 372. He's slugging 462. I mean, this is where you want him out. Let's look at what he did for the Braves leading off, by the way. I'll go back to 2021. I don't think he ever batted leadoff for the Royals when he was
I think he hit second and third with the Royals.
Why would you? In 2021, when he came to the Braves, they slotted him into the leadoff position pretty quickly. Not immediately, but pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly, yeah, because it was mostly because Acuna had been there for a while. So they're used to that, having your not necessarily your best hitter in his regard, but just a good hitter no matter what his speed is or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. 352 on base percentage, but a 907 OPS. He was just hitting the shit out of the ball. 136 WRC plus, only hit 244. But whatever. Not necessarily looking for batting average out of Soler.
Right.
I love, and he is back in the leadoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
They have slotted him back into the leadoff spot. I imagine he will remain there for the rest of the year. That is an excellent move. And you gave up nothing for it. No offense to Tyler Matzek, but he wasn't doing anything. So the fact that you get that for a reliever that was not usable, I think is fantastic. Plus you get just someone who's hopefully a mop up guy, and only one we're losing in Luke Jackson, because Luke Jackson absolutely has the ability to blow a 5-run lead.
Oh yeah,
in
the blink of an eye.
It's unbelievable. Sure, he's a nice guy, but I fucking hate Luke Jackson.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Soler, too, and I wanted to get your take on this. He's signed for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
For fairly affordable, too.
He's going to be, I imagine, playing right field every day the rest of this year and left field every day next year.
One would think,
and
right?
And the year, maybe the year after, unless Ozuna leaves and he gets replaced or something. I don't know how that's going to work.
So they're
out,
definitely going to, there's no question they're going to pick up Ozuna's extension, and Ozuna will be the DH next year.
Yeah, next year for sure. Yeah.
Acuna is tracking to be back opening day.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No later than like mid-April, yeah. Right? So yeah, he'll, and it's Acuna. He's still young. He's only 26.
Yeah, he's,
so he'll be back pretty quick, but
so that probably makes Soler a mostly full-time left fielder for the Braves for the next 2 years. Plus, mm-hmm. with Kelnick being, I wouldn't call him a fourth outfielder, but like a third and a half outfielder. I would say probably maybe like a 70-30 split on playing time, one would think.
Yeah.
But especially if you keep, and honestly, so when Acuna comes back, who do you put in the leadoff spot?
If it's me, I go, I definitely go Acuna and then Soler.
Yeah.
I like, just let's get it done.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's nowhere to go. Because then, you know, by then the back, so you're thinking, sorry, let me pull this up to make sure I'm not missing anything. So, Acuna, Soler, Riley, Olson, fucking Ozzie Albies at five,
yeah,
probably is how that'll shake out. And then we'll see for the rest. I mean, maybe it's Ozuna at five. I mean, talking about next year, it's going to be Ozuna at four, probably, right? And then Olson at five, I would think.
Maybe, yeah. If Olson kind of, it depends on probably how Olson bounces back this year a little bit.
Well, I mean, he's bounced the fuck back at this point. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, Ozuna, Olson, Albies at six. And then 7, 8, 9 is some combination of Harris, the shortstop, and fucking the catcher.
Murphy, yeah.
Whomever it is. It'll be Murphy or Darno or
new guy.
Maybe they bring that new guy up and let Darno go. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
Which, again, when completely healthy, that's the best lineup in baseball.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
That's a crazy lineup.
That's fucking insane. So that move, that's a nice forward-facing move. But I will say,
I mean, that's what I want them to do, make moves that make sense for this year and for next year and the next couple of years.
I mean, and that's to me, that's great. I love that Soler's finally back, that we rectified, I think, that mistake. I wish we had kept Jock Peterson as well. I think that, I think keeping Rosario was,
that was the worst move.
Insane.
Yeah, that was the dumbest person to keep. But yeah, I think it kind of, yeah, it's good. That move is good for next year. The non-move on pitchers makes me think that they want to hold on to those young guys because they're not planning on signing Fried. That's my take from that.
I would say it could be that, or that it's insurance for not being able to sign Fried if they just get beat on the market.
You shouldn't be able to get beat signing your hometown guy.
I fucking
that should be a literal impossibility. Fried's not the kind of guy I think that's going to go fucking looking. But this is what Chipper warned about with Freddie back in the day. He's like, if you let him go out there and start looking, somebody's going to fucking bait him away from you. They should be signing Fried right now, but they're not going to.
And that sucks. One thing I will say, though, about that disappointed me about this deadline, even though the Soler trade I do think is great, is that at some point you need to understand that you're in a window that you have to maximize. You don't want to mortgage everything. But I think all you have to do is go look over to the Astros and see. Not every move they've made has been fantastic, but the Astros have been aggressive when they needed to be, and they've been patient when they've needed to be. And that's why they've been the best team over the last 7 years. I mean, they go out and they get Verlander when they need it. They go out and get other pieces when they need it. To me, understanding that you have a serious chance to win the World Series every single year with this roster, even one as banged up as this one is.
Yeah.
I mean, the only World Series we've won with this current iteration of the team was with the most banged up version of it.
Yeah. I mean, Ozzy was just coming back from an injury and fucking Acuna was out entirely.
Acuna was out. I believe we were missing a pitcher. Oh, Soroka at the time had just gotten injured the year before. Yeah. I mean, our pitching, we had no depth in the pitching. And then Morton got hurt in game one of the World Series.
Yeah, broke his leg.
It's just the type of thing where I think you do not need to mortgage everything. You absolutely do not need to sell the farm for one more title or something like that. But you need to be making moves acting like you are one of the best teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like you, flags fly forever. You need to understand that you don't have a chance to win every year most of the time. But when you are in that window where you have a chance every year, you should probably try to be maximizing those chances. I don't think this is there's no punt year right now. There's no punt year. There's maybe some years where you don't go as hard as others, but there's no reason to punt on any season when this much talent is on the roster.
Yeah, 100%.
And so to your point about a pitcher, that to me is probably, you know, where they should have gone. As we talked about last time, there was no shortstop market. Arcia is just who's there. I mean, we're just going to live with Arcia this year. There was no shortstop market.
Yeah.
So that is what that is. But yeah, would have liked to see a pitcher. Going to have to do it with Soler. The nice thing is about the National League, there is no team that is really terribly well put together. Every team has holes. Every team has weaknesses. So it's just the type of thing where you hope you're playing well and that your guys basically just play up to they're hitting their peak in October.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most complete right now is probably Philly.
Yeah,
they're not playing the best right now, but I think they're probably the most complete. We'll see if Christopher Sanchez continues to have success. It's been a bit dicey for him lately. Like the last month, he's got a 7 ERA almost. but even with that in mind, he's still got a 3.36 for the year. So that's how good he's been. We'll see if he bounces back. If he doesn't, then it's Wheeler, Nola, and Suarez, which, you know, great. Suarez is injured. He'll be back on next Thursday or Friday, I think.
Yeah. I mean, has won, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 playoff series in the last 2 years, I think.
I don't know about
something
that.
Like that.
They're doing well.
They can do it at this point. Like, yeah. They're a proven entity in October, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, their outfield is just okay.
Yeah, I think
Brandon Marsh and
I love Marsh, but
I love him too. But he's hitting fucking 250, and he's got a 746 OPS. Johan Rojas in center field's got a 566 OPS. Plays great defense. Good for him. Castellanos is having an okay year. Yeah. 700 OPS is not what you expect out of him. So their outfield is weak as fuck, but the rest of that team is elite. Like, yeah, every fucking position, they're elite. Real Muto's elite. Fucking Harper's elite. Bryson Stott is pretty good, but he's a second baseman. But Boehm is elite. Turner's elite. Kyle Schwarber is, when he's playing well, like, he's got an 840 OPS still,
yeah,
despite, I don't know what his deal is.
You don't ever feel safe with him at the plate.
No, he's a tough out. So they're good. Alvarado's a great closer. They got a pretty good bullpen. Sir Anthony Dominguez is good too. For them, it's going to be a matter of health, I think. But
and just making sure they're on in October, which they have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, so yeah. Typically, they're doing pretty well in October, except for 2021 when we dusted past them, right?
Well, they didn't even make it to
October. Yeah, they didn't make it. So aside from that year, they've been pretty consistent with regard to being good when it matters. So, yeah, I mean, I expect to run into them again. We'll see how it goes, I guess.
One would think, I mean, and I believe, no, so the way, if we maintain the first wild card spot and they maintain the number one seed, would we be on the opposite side of the bracket?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't know how it works with baseball now. It's like 80 people make the playoffs.
I can't do it anymore. We might not run into them until an LCS, if that is the case, but I can't remember. Next up, the Braves. Bats finally waking up. That's been the frustrating thing about this team the entire season. As bad and annoying as the injuries have been, what's been more frustrating is that the lineup is so deep. Even when half of it's missing, it's still as good as about the Dodgers lineup, because it was a 1-9 situation with the hitters. I mean, this is a lineup that if you take away 30% of it, it's still a top 10 lineup in baseball.
Yeah.
And any 30% of it, it doesn't matter. That's how good that lineup is. So the most frustrating part to me, even though the injuries are insane and it's like, dude, another one? Are you fucking kidding me? The most frustrating part has been the slumping. Aside from Ozuna, every single person has essentially been a pale imitation of themselves, certainly from last year. But over the last 7 games, I caught this stat from OptiStats on Twitter. The Braves have 54 hits in their last 7 games. Of those 54 hits, 21 have been home runs, almost 40% of their hits. have been home runs.
And they've scored 35 runs, so they're scoring 5 runs a game.
Yes.
In their last 7 games. That's good. Like, you can live with 5 runs a game, because their pitching isn't giving up 5 runs a game.
No. And nice of them to get back on track. First off, by the way, some of those games are against the Brewers, who have good pitching.
Yeah.
But now they get to really warm up their bats against the Marlins.
Yeah. Marlins are rough.
Which is pretty fucking handy.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything different from guys like Olson? So we talked about Olson a little bit. Olson has, what, 4 home runs in his last 6 games?
4 home runs and a double, yeah. Yeah, what I see from him is he's still a little bit off on the fastball away, but the fastball and the slider low and in, he's seeing now, which is nice. Like he's been interviewed a couple times this year and talked about just, I don't know what he means when he says it, but just not seeing the fastball well. I don't know if he means rotation, release point, or his vision's fucked up. I don't know. But in the last 7 games, he's got an 1141 OPS. So he's seeing something, right? And then Arcia also come to life. He's got fucking, well, let's see, how many home runs did he have?
I think he had a home run recently, didn't he?
He's got 3 home runs and 2 doubles in the last 7 games. He's got 1157 OPS in that time frame. Darno's got a 1326 OPS in that time frame. Ozuna, 909, you expect that from him. 874 from Duvall, of all people. Sean Murphy, 875, he's seeing the ball quite a bit better.
Yeah.
Laureano, I don't care if he hits home runs every now and again. Get him the fuck out of here. He's the worst defensive play. He's worse than Ozuna. He's made worse defensive plays than Ozuna does.
Well, he won't be out there anymore, really, right?
With Kelnick, he shouldn't be ever again.
Soler. No. And Duvall.
He might be a pinch hitter. I'm not sure if he stays on the roster, to be honest.
And thankfully...
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Riley, been back to form since June, really. Maybe not like it in totally the way we want it, but a 153 WRC plus in June, 131 in July, and August has been one day. But he's...
Well, June and July, like the last week or so, hasn't been the best for him, but combined June and July, he's got about like a 875 OPS, on-base percentage somewhere in the 350 range, 285 average, and he's hit 11 home runs.
And so that's actually something I typically, and he's slugged over 500 in both of those months as well. One thing with Riley that I really want to see, it's not necessarily the type of thing that I care about with, Ozuna is doing everything right now, but with like Olson, for example, but one thing I care about with Riley is he's the type of guy that you want to see hitting for some semblance of average.
Mm.
Because he is more than basically anyone on the roster except Ozuna, who, again, is doing everything.
Mm.
Him and Darno are the two guys you want up there when you very specifically need a base hit.
Yeah, I mean, or situational hitting specifically. And that's something that I think the biggest cause, like, there are going to be ups and downs hitting wise. Sometimes it's feast, sometimes it's famine, sometimes it's distributed, so you don't see it as much because some guys are hitting and others aren't. But even when everybody's not hitting, you can still grind your way on base and you can still do good situational hitting. And the Braves failed at both of those things during their slump. That's why they lost all that ground.
Yeah.
It isn't just because they weren't hitting, because a lot of teams go through slumps where they're not hitting. What they didn't do was force tough at bats, steal bases, hit behind the runner, shit like that.
Put pressure on the pitcher and the defense.
Just score. Like, if there's a runner on third base with less than two outs, he has to score.
Yeah.
If there's a runner on second base with no outs, he has to get the third with one out.
Yeah.
You have to make that happen as a professional hitter. And anytime you don't do it, it's a fucking monumental failure. So, and they didn't do that at all for about a month.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was bad. May in particular was a fucking nightmare. But Riley, again, to the point about him being a situational hitter, he, I believe, had the go-ahead hit against the Brewers in the rubber game. Base hit to – no, he didn't – or he didn't hit it the other way. I think he – yeah, he pulled it. Base hit through – past the between the shortstop and the third baseman, scores two runners with two outs. I think the bases were loaded. But that's exactly what you want out of him. You're looking for, you know, you want him, he's going to be a 30 homer guy or whatever. Like, that's what you want out of him over the course of his season. But really, if you know Austin Riley well as a player, which we both fairly do because we watch him so much, he is the type of guy that comes up and he's going to give you a single or a double exactly when you need that single or double. And then maybe you get a home run. That's a nice bonus. But that is, he is our, as the three hitter too, like, he is our primary situational guy.
Yeah,
that is what we need out of him. That's what Freddie was so good at. In fact, that's probably the primary reason we felt okay about letting Freddie go, is that Riley was that next man up for the linchpin, keystone situational hitter. The guy who, when he comes to the plate, he will get you whatever you need him to get for you. And he had been failing at that for the first half of the season. Thankfully, he's back to doing that. And I think a lot of the lineup revolves around that, and revolves around whomever is hitting in the one hole doing their job, which is getting on base or ambushing balls, which after Acuna went down, we didn't really have that. And now, you know, in Soler, hopefully we have that again. And if one and three, I think, are working really well, then hopefully other things shake out the way they probably should.
Yeah.
One would imagine. I do, man, by the way, just to go back to a previous point, Acuna and Soler 1-2 next year will be extremely pleasurable to watch.
Acuna, Soler,
probably Riley.
Riley, Ozuna, Olsen is fucking wild.
That's insane. I mean, you might just between that, you might get back to back home runs to start off a game like that are worth 1,000 feet combined. Those two guys hit the dick off the fucking baseball. Yeah. It is. I love Jorge Soler. Like truly, am just an unabashed Jorge Soler fan. Real quick, before we keep going, we do have some ads. First up is MyBookie, MyBookie.com. That is where we make all of our bets. We've got some baseball bets for later in the show after we're done talking about Braves stuff. MyBookie, you can bet on anything. You can bet on presidential odds, whether you want to bet on Trump or Harris, or they call him John David Vance on MyBookie.com. They're very official.
I thought it stood for something else. I had no idea what it
said. Yeah, I was like, John David. Right.
I don't know why you would choose to go by JD.
Big Scrubs guy.
I guess.
Love the show.
Not a fan of The Office with Bob Vance.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, you can bet on anything on MyBookie. And they have a live casino. If you tune into this channel, you know that me and Doko Dan play Casino Fridays. Every Friday, we get on the table and play blackjack. They have live real life dealers. It's not some like sketchy computer game like you're playing at a bar or something like that and you're like, I'm pretty sure this game is fucking me over. It is a human being on a it's like a Zoom call blackjack, basically. Super legit, really fun to play. We love doing it every week. We actually won money this week, so it's not the most exciting episode, but it's
no
fun.
Spoilers, what the fuck.
sorry. But yeah, if you use the promo code Drinking Bros at MyBookie.com, you will double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you put in $1,000, they'll give you a free $1,000 to play with. If you only have $100 to put in, they'll give you an extra $100 to play with. Whatever you put in, They will double on that first deposit with the promo code Drinking Bros at mybookie.com. And I'm sorry if you took the under last night in the Hall of Fame game, because apparently they were slinging it.
2 years in a row.
That the over hit?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I didn't watch.
And this year only went 2.5, or yeah, 2.5 fucking quarters, right? They canceled the game after somewhere in the early part of the third quarter, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't watch.
Because of the rain and lightning and shit, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was at a movie.
I didn't watch it either. I just saw it on the interwebs this morning, but I'm not watching that shit. Come on.
No, I'm not terribly interested in it. But yeah, mybookie.com is where we make all our bets for everything with the football season coming up. And like I said, a live casino. Definitely check it out. And then if you need tickets for anything, drinkingbrostickets.com. Yeah. That is where you get tickets to goddamn anything you can imagine, from an Ariana Grande concert to the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter. It's all there. All weird little things. Creed on 9/11, which you guys are going to. Doesn't matter. It's there. Anyway, enough of that. Keep getting into the Braves talk. This month, August, I was looking at the schedule. I hadn't really looked over it very much. This is it. This is the month that decides whether or not we get into the playoffs. I believe we will make the playoffs, but it all will hinge on this month because there are two reasons for that. Number one, we play the Phillies 7 times. I believe 3 in Atlanta, 4 in Philadelphia. Those are the last 7 games against the Phillies. So if we want to have any shot at the division, which neither you or I are convinced that we even
I couldn't care less about that
at this point. It is kind of like, I'll tell you this, I don't want to just end the season hanging a division flag. Like, they need to win at least a pennant for me to be happy this year. But yeah, we play the Phillies 7 times. That'll probably more or less decide the division. I mean, we won't overtake them unless something crazy happens just with those 7 games, but win 5 out of those 7 and you're probably, you know, 3 games out, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so, yeah. I mean, we'll see. The Phillies have lost 4 in a row right now. Who are they playing tonight?
Mariners.
Okay. Oh, man, it's a tough series.
Meanwhile, we get the Marlins. I mean, at this point with the Marlins series in particular, I'm not going to be happy without a sweep.
Yeah. Yeah, 4-game sweep is, that's my expectation, actually. I think they're going to sweep just because they're hitting well and the Marlins suck.
The Marlins are as bare bones as you could possibly fucking be.
Yeah, I mean, they've got AAA guys on the roster, in the fucking starting lineup at this point.
In the rotation, everything.
Phillies are coming in, slacking. I think probably they win 2 out of 3. They're better than the Mariners, right? But the Mariners are playing better right now, so who knows? But even if they win 2 out of 3 and the Braves sweep this, they'll be caught up. They'll be at 4 under, I think.
They're 6 back right now.
Or it'll be 4.5. They'll be 4.5 out at that point. So, you know, that's manageable moving down the season. This is not the largest deficit we've overcome against the Phillies in the last 5 years, right?
No.
Or the Mets or anybody else. Yeah. So the Mets are actually playing pretty decent right now. I don't know how much staying power they have.
Yeah.
Because it's so thin. Yeah. That lineup is so thin. There's not that many good hitters in it.
What's nice for them is that I think, honestly, once you get past literally the Braves, maybe the Padres now too with the additions they made.
Mm-hmm. They're doing all right.
It's
we'll
a weak
see.
Field
yeah.
outside of that.
Yeah, there's a decent chance. I would say actually a good chance that the Mets, Phillies, and Braves all make the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Good chance. Not. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, their rotation's okay.
You know what's fun? What's nice for the Mets is that they're playing with house money.
They are, yeah, because nobody expected anything out of them.
And that is the complete opposite of what they've been playing, how they've been forced to play the last 3 years, which is just pure pressure.
Yeah.
Like, win the National League, win the division, or your pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So it's they're getting to just kind of have fun.
Yeah.
Which is probably refreshing for, like, Pete Alonso and shit.
Certainly for Lindor, who's having a great year, by the way. He's 800 OPS from your shortstop. You can live with that. The rest of the team, I mean, it's pretty middling. They flash and do well. I think the National League is just extremely weak this year.
Yeah, I agree.
But we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
But the rest of the month, so the 7 games against the Phillies are huge, but the Phillies are, of course, great. So those are 7 tough games. The rest of the month, 4 games against the Marlins, as we talked about, already won one of those. 3 more starting tonight. 3 games against the Rockies in Colorado, I believe. 4 games at the Giants. 3 games at the Angels. And 3 games versus the Nats. All teams who are either objectively bad or were sellers at the deadline. The only downside to this is that it's a West Coast trip, which we've notoriously been mediocre during.
Yeah, but they're all so fucking hot right now. It feels good, you know. After, yeah. I mean, just think of the coming off a pretty brutal stretch of a month and a half or so, off and on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then playing well, scoring 5 runs a game. Like every night you go out, you score 5 runs. Pitching has been great the whole time. It's never stopped. Now everything's clicking. It's like the All-Star break can be good or bad for you. Same thing with the break in between the season and the postseason. If you're going really well, it's like, all right, cool. I don't want to take any days off. I want to fucking be out there and hit. The ball looks like a fucking beach ball to me right now. If you're struggling, sometimes it can be nice to have a day or two off. I think right now they want to get right back to it, to be honest. So I'm not sure the West Coast thing is going to fuck them up too bad this time.
Hopefully not. And again, most of these teams, the Rockies are fucking terrible. Games in Colorado are weird, but the Rockies are god-awful.
They're weird, but they're fun,
yeah,
to be honest. Like that's a really good opportunity for Snitker to maybe not pitch any of his good pitchers. Let Bryce Elder go up there and see. It's like, I mean, none of your shit's going to break. Just keep it low. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just make them pound it into the ground.
Yeah, pretty much. That'll be a good opportunity to not let any of our real pitchers pitch, I think.
Yeah. And this is it. I mean, this month will tell you, A, if they win the if they have a chance of winning the division, and B, if they can hang on and secure, solidify themselves in the one seed with the wild card. Because right now it's a bit of a tenuous grasp. Yeah.
It's close. Two games, I think.
I think it's one. Maybe one and a half.
Or it's maybe it's one two and a half. For the Mets.
We are 1.5 up. We're 1 game up on the Padres, 1.5 games up on the Diamondbacks, 2 games up on the Mets. Okay. So it's all tight. It is. Everyone's pretty tightly bunched. So even if we don't catch the Phillies, this month should be the month that gives us enough cushion that we will be confidently in the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for the Phillies. I don't want to be the number one seed. It just never works out for you.
It's not going to be, it's not great. Although honestly, the Phillies are, I wonder how many games up are they on the Dodgers with their little slide that they've been on, 65, 2 games up on the Dodgers looks like,
You can click
2.5,
overall.
Oh yeah. You can't believe they're 2.5 up
our league rather, excuse me. Yeah, they're 2.5 up.
Okay. So the Dodgers, in striking distance too, honestly, even the Brewers. There's 360 win teams in the National League, which is more than I would have suspected. Although, god damn, the fucking Royals. I am so excited for I have a vested it. Like, I will be rooting for the Royals in the American League playoffs.
I mean, they've got a better record than the Braves right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And unfortunately, they're our last series of the season, which presumably both teams will be playing for something in that. But I would like the Royals to do well just because I want Bobby Witt Jr. to become a national star, because he deserves to be a national star.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would have, for the top 10 records in baseball, would have guessed that 1, 2, 3, 4 of them would be from central teams.
No. Right? Like, fuck no.
Minnesota, Kansas City, and Cleveland. All in the top 10 right now. Now, that won't stay the case. It can't. Statistically, it can't stay the case.
Right.
Unless they just fucking beat everybody out of division, which I don't. That's probably going to happen. But it's a weird year, for sure. It's a fucking weird year.
It's baseball, man. Mm-hmm. Even that's, I mean, you play the 162 games because you think it shakes everything out. And for the most part, it does. But even still, the fact that there can be aberrations over that many games, like outliers over that many games, is just wild. It's what makes the sport fun, even if it ends up not mattering at all.
What doesn't make the sport fun, though, are franchises that suck so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like, I don't know how you would do this, but I feel like the league should be able to get rid of front offices. Like, if you're that fucking bad, you're banned from baseball.
Yeah.
Like the White Sox, the Rockies, the Marlins, the Athletics, the Angels. The Nationals are on the come up. They suck right now, but they got a bunch of young talent.
And they won a World Series, what, 5 years ago?
18?
19,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, so fair enough. And the other guys at the bottom, the Blue Jays are a terribly run organization, but they've had opportunities. Mm-hmm.
They try.
Yeah, but the White Sox, the Rockies, neither one of those are small market. Like, Denver is not a small market.
No.
They've got a massive TV radius right there. Like, Nevada is part of their TV market. It's huge, right? For now, anyways.
Right.
But Chicago is obviously not small market. Miami and Oakland are, but the Angels aren't. Like, they've spent... The Angels are responsible for two of the biggest, like, top five contracts in Major League Baseball history still, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And... Yeah. Or... Yeah, two of them.
Pools
yeah.
and Trout. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also had Shohei Ohtani during that period.
Right.
And they still suck. Like, the people that run these front offices, Angels, Athletics, Marlins, well, I guess if Billy Bean's still around, he can do whatever he wants. He's got street cred.
Yeah.
But the other ones, you should be banned from baseball.
I would say, honestly, more the ownership, too, than anything. Like,
yeah.
if you're not
force
willing
to sell the team,
Yeah. If you're not willing to commit to win, and Reinsdorf is fucking dog shit.
He's terrible.
He's a horrible owner. He should be forced to sell. And I don't really know who owns the Marlins because I think it's a bunch of people, but that's not a small market team.
It's not. They just can't get people to come watch the games.
Yeah, like Miami's huge. South Florida? You the entire South Florida market? You have Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and everything that goes up that Atlantic coast, like fucking Boca and shit like that? Like, that's got to be one of the – that used to drive me crazy when Braves fans would try to say that Atlanta was like, oh, we're not a major market team. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's one of the – what, eight biggest cities in the country?
It's big, yeah.
Like, it's fucking huge.
And the odd part, if you haven't ever been to Miami or gone to a Marlins game before, the stadium is in Little Havana.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of where all the Cuban people live. And Cuban people, Cubans aren't, like, most of Latin America is mostly soccer with a little bit of baseball peppered in, depending where you are.
Yeah.
The Caribbean's different. It's mostly baseball. Cuba's the same. It's part of the Caribbean. They play baseball first. Some people play basketball. Some people play soccer. Like, they're baseball fans.
Yeah.
You should be able to get them into your stadium, and it's been a struggle for some reason. I don't know why.
And the tickets aren't expensive.
They're not, no.
Like, it's fucking crazy. It is, when we say this, if you've not been to Lone Depot Park, whatever the fuck it's called, I mean, it is in the fucking middle of Little Havana, and I think... There's like a Dominican neighborhood or something
close by, yeah. And it's kind of a pain in the ass to get in and out of, I guess, to some degree, because there's not like great places to go get Ubers and shit like that, like some of the other places.
I mean, we were in just like on a neighborhood street. Yeah.
And there's not a lot of places to walk around and just go to a bar or restaurant right afterwards. So that's part of it for sure. But that seems like a pretty easy fix, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like if I'm the Marlins ownership, I signed some licensing deals with some people to start buying real estate around there and building
ballpark village, battery.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's insane that they are not better fans. But if I was Reinsdorf needs to be forced out. Whoever owns the A's should have been forced out long ago. I mean, it's just, you got to at least have you don't even need to do that great. Like, the Blue Jays kind of suck, but you can tell that ownership has tried, right? Like, they had... with those teams in the mid-teens, right? With Donaldson and what's his fucking name? Batista and stuff like that. I mean, and they traded for Tulowitzki that one year. They had a Cy Young winner in R.A. Dickey. Like, they had people, you know what I mean? Like, but the A's, the only reason they're ever competitive is because Billy Bean just fucking MacGyvers a team together.
Yeah.
And the Marlins are never competitive. It's fucking terrible. Anyway, let's get to our bets. For this week, I'm going to take the Friday games. Again, we make our bets on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinkin' Bros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. You can bet anything on there. You can play their live casino. MyBookie is definitely the place to be making your bets. Again, I'm taking the Friday games. Braves over Marlins. That is actually a comically huge line. I think the Braves were like minus 230s. I mean, it's big. There are two humongous money lines here. All the bets are money line, by the way, because it's low. Yeah, the Braves are minus 240, and then I also took the Twins over the White Sox, who were minus 320. So you got to add some extra stuff on there to get some value. Padres over the Rockies, Dodgers over the A's, which was not as big of a line as I thought it was going to be. And then you know what? I took the Cardinals over the Cubs, but that game has started, so I will add on another one. I'm going to take the D-backs over the Pirates, and the Royals are not dogs, but they're close to it because Tarik Skubal is pitching against them with the Tigers, but I'll take the Royals over the Tigers as well, because they're the better team and you're getting decent odds on them.
Yeah.
So those are the games I'm taking. There's some weird matchups. I almost wanted to go with the Phillies because they also have kind of short odds for how good they are, but a trip to Seattle's kind of...
Yeah, east to west plus it's the Mariners. I don't know if I would do that.
Yeah.
I'm taking Sunday games. First is Reds over Giants. The Giants are hollowed out. It's probably going to be a fucking AAA or bullpen game for them. Spires is going for the Reds. They're good. I like them. I like that game. Pirates over D-backs. Skanes is pitching. They win almost every game except for one that he's pitched in, actually.
Yeah.
And I think he gave up one run in that game. So that's a pretty easy one. Braves over Marlins. It's going to be probably Elder or somebody like that against the Marlins, but who fucking cares?
It hardly matters.
I mean, they're throwing out that kid Cabrera. He's got like a 7 ERA right now. Dodgers over A's, obvious reasons. You can think of those all yourself. The A's are not a real baseball team. Mets over Angels, I think that's a good one too. Quintana's going for the Mets. They're on a roll right now. And that's it. And then there's, if betting or otherwise, there's two really fucking good games on Sunday. One is the Orioles at the Indians, and it's Corbin Burns versus Gavin Williams. That's a great fucking game to watch. The other one is Phillies at Mariners. That's Zach Wheeler and Logan Gilbert facing off on a Sunday night game or a Sunday afternoon game at 3 p.m. So it'll be, I assume it'll be fucking, 1 p.m. Pacific time, but
yeah,
that's a great game to watch as well. I'll be watching both of those games probably.
And I'm actually going to put on the, I forgot, there's one other one I wanted to do. I'm going to go Yankees over the Blue Jays as well. Gossman's pitching for the Blue Jays, but he hasn't had a good year, and I think the Yankees are just hot right now with the sort of trade deadline juice they have with Jazz and everybody, and I mean Judge and Soto. I believe Judge and Soto are the top two hitters in baseball right now by WRC Plus, with Bobby Witt and Shohei Ohtani right behind them. That team is just fucking insane. I think it's a choke job if the Yankees don't win the pennant this year. Even though I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win their division, that team is just so stacked that it would be a disappointment if they don't win the American League. And I think the Blue Jays are pretty down and out at this point. So I will take the Yankees on that as well. And I'll drop that into the Drinking Bros sports group. If follow them on Facebook, join Drinking Bros Sports, where we drop all our bets and people just kind of talk shit, share memes, you know, whatever about sports and shit like that. Any other thoughts on the Braves before we get out of here, or baseball in general?
You know, I'm very interested to see how Oscar and Noah and Ian Anderson progress.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a huge wild card for them when the playoffs start.
I've joked before, Ian Anderson is our new Mike Soroka, which is just like, I love him and I want him to come back and do well. Just who knows if he will. But he's been our best postseason pitcher over the last three playoff runs.
Yeah.
Runs, I mean, I guess I should say. But
he's a sinker ball guy, so he's got to find a release point.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a little bit. And those guys often work better when they're stretched out a little bit, so he needs to get back soon and start stretching his arm out if he's going to be able to be effective.
It felt like with him too that he seemed to pitch better when it was a little chillier out. It seemed like that perfect game he had in the World Series, or no hitter or whatever, through the fifth, it was freezing fucking cold that day, and he was throwing a heavy ball. I like that in a playoff pitcher, but we'll see. Rooting for Ian Anderson. But that otherwise is all I got. Thanks for listening.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.